turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David Britton. How's it going?
Not too bad. Trying to stay warm.
Oh, it has been pretty cold this week, but I suppose we are right in the depths of winter, so we should expect some cold weather.
Yeah, I just saw the forecast of a huge sub-Antarctic storm coming next week.
That's a good name for it. We're just trying to figure out what to call it, but the huge sub-Antarctic storm has a really heavy vibe to it.
Well, yeah, it's sort of got a bit of gravitas to the name, hasn't it? Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
But it's meant to be, one of the biggest in recent times.
It's kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to being really proud of that storm.
Yeah, the South Island will get it much more than us, but it'll be pretty bad, apparently.
Yeah, for sure. Now, speaking of the South Island, David, there's been a wonderful aurora display seen down the South Island.
There has. The last couple of nights, the aurora have been really extensive and bright. I mean, I just wish I could have been down there to see them. There have been quite a few photos that have been sent into newspapers from down there, these beautiful green sheets of light high in the sky.
Is it like a Northern Lights kind of situation?
Yeah, but these are the Southern Lights.
Right.
How far south do you need to go to see these?
Well, there are photos here from Christchurch, so definitely quite bright there. I mean, a really bright display has been seen from Auckland a number of years ago.
Is it true that I've heard that it's actually you're better off kind of filming the lights and the camera actually picks up a bit more than your naked eye?
Well, yeah, if you can, if you've got a camera that can stay open for a period on a time exposure, you're going to get a much better image. But I mean, you need to experiment with your camera because with settings. And bracket your exposure. So do 5 or 6 different exposures of different lengths. Have a look at the results and work from there.
Would they have been as impressive as what you see in the Northern Hemisphere?
It looks like a radiation cloud to me. It doesn't look...
Well, it's sort of. It's a result of an outburst from the sun, and those particles, nuclear particles, reach the Earth. And the reason they're seeing the North and South Pole is because the Earth has a magnetic field, and those particles have a magnetic charge, so they go spiraling down to the North and South Pole of the magnet of the Earth, the magnetic field. So that's why you don't see them around the equator.
Right.
Yeah. So you get these sheets of energized molecules in the atmosphere, and the different colors correspond to different parts of the atmosphere, oxygen, nitrogen, and so on.
Nice. Now, there's been a near miss by an asteroid and a telescope. Tell us a bit more about that.
This is just after our last talk, actually. So I couldn't talk about it then, but this was an asteroid about 100 metres wide, which people, the astronomers, couldn't pick up soon because it was coming from the direction of the sun. So the old aviation trick in war is to attack your enemy with the sun behind you.
It's a sunstrike, even in space.
That's right.
That's great.
So it was hard to see. They only saw it a matter of days. The thing is, it's 100 meters in size, which is bigger than others that come close to it. And this one was reasonably close, 70,000 kilometers. And that may not sound like very close, but it's much closer than the moon. And the usual measure is, did it get closer to us than the moon?
Right.
And this one did. The funny thing is, the designation of it is called Asteroid 2019 OK. but there was no warning. They reckon it was somewhere between 57 and 130 meters in diameter.
Did you just tell us the asteroid's Twitter handle? I'm confused.
No, every one they discover is given a designation, and it uses letters of the alphabet in a code saying when it was noticed.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean it was all right. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that one came out as okay. if it had hit the Earth, it would have hit with the energy of about 30 times greater than the Hiroshima bomb.
Okay, and so it was pretty close because it was between the Earth and the Moon and...
Well, much closer. It was about double the distance of satellites up in space that send out...
Like a football stadium just smashing into
You know, in terms of asteroids, it's close and it was big. The bit I've got after that about a telescope is ESA, the European Space Agency, has actually just let €1 million contract to do detailed design work on a new telescope to try and find these sort of objects. It'll be an automated telescope, and it's going to be small and light, and you can make lots of them cheaply. The problem is seeing these, they're faint, asteroids are faint.
Yeah.
And you normally need big telescopes. But you also need to see a large area of sky. And the bigger the telescope, the smaller amount of sky you see.
A bird's eye, a fisheye telescope is what we're after.
This one is a fly's eye telescope.
Okay.
Okay, so what it does, it splits the image into 16 images, a bit like a compound eye of a fly.
Rad. I like it.
And so the telescope will be able to see about 45 square degrees, which is about 13 times the diameter of the Moon.
And just so we're clear, this 100-meter, like football stadium-sized asteroid, that'll ruin the planet if it crashes into our planet?
Well, yeah, that's what I said. It would be like a nuclear bomb 13 times greater than Hiroshima.
Right.
But it missed us, and it won't be coming back to us.
Is that game over, though?
If it hit, that would be a city-sized catastrophe, not a world catastrophe.
Okay, but it might screw up weather patterns for a little bit, sort of thing, maybe?
Probably not. I mean, locally, yeah.
Okay.
They've had nuclear tests of megatons rather than kilotons. So
would we rather it hit land or water?
probably water, because there's less people there.
But then a tsunami, right?
Yeah, but if you hit land, you're more likely to hit people and infrastructure and
so on.
Right.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Sorry, I just...
But that's just my opinion. I mean,
six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Something like that.
Now, David, you've sent us a slightly cryptic topic, butter and Oreos.
Butter and Oreos.
What do you need to know, John, really? See you on Saturday night.
It's all in the title.
Bring the butter and the Oreos, mate. Okay.
Well, this is a little bit of leftover from Apollo 11. Over in Ohio, where Neil Armstrong came from, they had a bit like a field day, a big fair, and they used 1,000 kilograms of butter to create the sculptures. Mm. And so there's a sculpture of Aldrin and Armstrong and Collins, plus one in a spacesuit, and a huge cow, because it's a very big dairying state and so on. People are going along there to see this huge butter sculpture of the group. He actually bought a dairy farm after leaving NASA in 1971 in Hawaii, so it's got a bit of a connection. And of course the headline they have is that it's Legend Dairy. But never mind, a bad pun.
Now,
Oreos. Basically, I'm just saying there's a bit of marketing there from Apollo 11. Oreos and Nabisco came out with celebratory new Oreo that has a marshmallow center. When you with Oreos, you give them a twist and then lick the filling, right? The filling looks like the surface of the Moon.
There's no rules or anything. Oh, so it's like a grey.
There's not a rule, no, but it's a sort of
I won't be controlled, David, to how I'm going to eat my Oreos, actually. I'm going to do whatever I want when I want when it comes to Oreos. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, they have a limited edition one, the Marshmallow Moon Oreos, that has collectible moon landing themed stickers as well, glow-in-the-dark packaging and all this. So I don't know if they've made it to New Zealand. I've really no idea, but if people are really interested in that sort of thing, probably they could get it on
Trade Me
or something similar.
Now, Curiosity Rover has just had its 7-year anniversary, still going strong?
It is. It's been there for 7 years. It's travelled 21 kilometres in total and gone up vertically 386 metres. So it's exploring the central peak of a very large crater. It's taken nearly 2,000 samples of rock and soil, and it's still going strong. So, you know, all power to a wonderful design. It'll shortly be joined in, like, next year by a couple more, one from NASA, a new rover, and the European Space Agency in Russia is sending one, which I talked about, the Rosalind Franklin. So they'll be joining Curiosity next year.
Excellent. Now, obviously, we've had a very interesting southern sky with the aurora happening down there. What's happening in closer quarters to Auckland? What can we see in the night sky at the moment?
Well, the planets, the only planets really are Jupiter and Saturn. The others are a bit hard to see. Mercury will become a bit more visible, but it's always hard to find. But what people can look out for on Monday next week after 9 o'clock, the moon's actually going to go in front of Saturn.
How rude. It's
called an occultation. So if the moon goes in front of the sun, that's called an eclipse because it covers the whole of the sun. When it goes in front of the a planet, it's like an eclipse, but it's called an occultation. Okay. So from about 10 past 9, that's when it'll, but after that, it'll cover Saturn. And then about an hour later, it'll pop out the other side as the moon moves across the sky. Saturn will reappear on the other side. So it's just something that people can look out for. You don't need a telescope. You can use a telescope fine and see a nice disk of Saturn, but a naked eye is fine, or binoculars, to see that happening.
Excellent. And what's coming up at the Stardome?
A couple of things coming up there. Well, actually, one of them's already underway. That's the Mars 1001 show, which is an adventure of going to Mars and unlocking the secrets of humanity's home on this brand new show. So that's pretty exciting. That's $12 for adults and $10 for children. That's on, what time is it on? 7 p.m. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 p.m. For the rest of the month. And very excitingly, we have another exhibition coming up starting on the 15th of August called Women in Science Exhibition, or WISE, W-I-S-E. So this is celebrating a bit over two dozen women from around the world from sort of the late 19th century to the present day in various areas of science. A bit of a bias towards astronomy and space, but not exclusively. And a number of New Zealand women included in that. So that exhibition will be opening on the 15th of August. If you go to visit Stardome and you're having a good look around, it's just $2 to look around the displays. Visiting the exhibition will be part of that ticket. Of course, if you're going to see a show, you can just pop down and have a look at it as well.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, David. Everyone out there listening, head along to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium there, just over by One Tree Hill.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.
Bye.
Cheers, mate.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.